Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott Dudley and yours truly, Maria Wyatt. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. And you can also access this show and other shows before they get disappeared from the internet on our podcast at kxoradio.com.
Are they there forever?
Sorry, they're
so
there.
If you go to the bottom of the list, what happens? Because
Infinity.
So you can scroll down and it'll reload the list, so like in Facebook or whatever.
It'll be there. And then if you really like a show, you can probably record it or just transfer it to your own computer, and you can always listen to us forever and ever and ever.
We should have like an oldies, you know, like in a month, do no current shows. No offense to the current show people here today, but do like a month of like the best of,
well,
and dust off the old ones and get some good ones out there.
We do that when you're not, I'm not here.
Yeah,
here,
but
here,
we like
the holiday,
throw so. A dart at the dartboard of podcasts, and whatever it hits, we do.
Hey, before that, we have to remind our listeners, if you want a good family activities this weekend, my city of Imperial.
Maria's community calendar is
they
brought
adopted
to you by
the
fine folks.
I've been, you know. And they're having market days. It's going to start, I guess, the activities for the fair. Yay!
Like the first day is like
coming.
Stock market day, and then there's like.
No, it's market days, and it's they're going to do the I guess, like the farmer market, and then they're having the tri-tip cook-off. Yes.
Your favorite.
Your favorite. I love tri-tip. And I think they're having a parade, too, so. Everything on Saturday. So, if you want to do some events.
You know when the fair starts. We know you know.
March the 2nd. My daughter's looking every time I'm driving by the fair. The fair! So, she's looking forward to it. And Mario's going to speak right now.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind all the people in the community that if you have anything that you wanted to announce that has to do with a community-based event, we would appreciate if you would like to fax your information here to the studio 2 weeks in advance. So we can announce it for you, free of charge, of course. We're a nonprofit, so I just want to put that out there. Our number at the studio is 357. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about Calexico. Yeah, no, right. Our number at the studio is 760-337-8874. Our number at the office is 337-8051 if you want to give us a call. So there you go. Thank you.
And then also you can email it to Scott Dudley at Imperial County. That's okay.
I love email. Sure, send me one. Oh, wait, I got one. Community event. Right now, this moment, the left-hand turn arrow on the corner of 8th and Main in El Centro just turned green. So if you're there, take advantage, go make that left turn. And
okay, let's move on. Well, who are our guests today?
Oh, and we have a full house of guests, and they brought scripts, so we're going to shake them up in a moment here, if we haven't already. We have the Imperial County Office of Education Student Wellbeing, Department of Student Wellbeing, huh? Prevention Specialist Tag Team Match today. Steel cage. We have a steel cage installed in these spacious and beautiful studios of KUBO. And we've got Christy Gomez, who's a prevention specialist. Good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Now can you hear that you don't actually come into the microphone unless you're talking into the microphone? Pull it right up to your face. There you go. Okay, now say good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Scott.
A little better. How are you?
Wonderful. How about you?
Welcome aboard. I'm good. Always good. It's always fun to be here. It's always fun to do the show.
Great.
So this is our community service.
Our partners, Imperial County Office of Education, they're our partners also with Behavioral Health. So we work closely with them.
Hand in.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to take off the ankle manacles by the end of the show? I mean, it'd be nice if we could go to our respective offices.
No, they're always there. Just an imaginary, but they're always there in everything that we work.
Well, don't move them because they clink and it shows up on the mic and it spoils the podcast. We also have John Radcliffe, who is the second prevention specialist in the room. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you this morning?
Excellent, actually. Looking forward to being on the radio, talking about my program, getting my name out there. Should be exciting.
So, you guys are prevention specialists. What are you trying to prevent? What are you trying to prevent? I mean, variety of different specialist, things. You're really good at it.
Yeah, so and our prevention is child abuse, drug and alcohol use and abuse and that kind of thing, violence.
That's good, and so you guys pick specific things that you think are going to work to help prevent the nasty suffering stuff.
Yeah, different kind of curriculums, also different ways of working with people, kind of helping them understand themselves better, where they are, what's going on with them, and just kind of help them build some self-awareness.
You know, student well-being has been going on so long that I was actually a part of it at one point, so...
Excellent. Make sure you keep that on your resume.
And it's, I mean, they do an important part of it. They do the prevention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that way their kids don't end up with our program.
There you go. There you go. And it's been around so long that it's actually dropped off the bottom of my resume because you can only go back like so many years.
I see.
So, there you go. So, what specifically are we here to talk about today? Christy.
Well, before we move on to what we're going to talk about today, let me tell you a little bit more about student well-being.
Please.
Student well-being and family resources offers a variety of programs concerned with the comprehensive health of students and their families. These concerns include the physical, emotional, and social barriers to healthy living. These concerns include the physical, emotional, and social barriers to healthy living. We provide opportunities to develop and practice healthy and lifelong skills. We work with at-risk populations. Our professional staff offers training and resources to schools and to the community. And we have sponsored programs like AmeriCorps, Friday Night Live, ACES, After School Education and Safety, CHAT, Serving Victims.
CHAT must be an acronym for
yes,
children yes. having absolute horrific blank.
Serving Victims of Abuse and Exploitation, the Family Resource Centers, Student Assistant Services, and our mentoring programs.
Your roots are everywhere.
Wow.
Our roots are everywhere.
Did you write that just for us? Did you write that
I
just
totally
for us?
I totally wrote this just for you last night.
So you're everywhere. I mean, it's just
we
like...
We are everywhere. Absolutely.
Good. Do you offer any services in San Bosco and Winter Haven?
Absolutely. We were in Winter Haven about 3 weeks ago. We were out there for 15 weeks providing services, parent nurturing services.
Oh, wow.
Because parents need nurturing. They do. It's a hard
totally.
Job.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it was extremely successful. We are very, very, very happy about the outcome at San Pascual Elementary School District.
Oh, wow.
What kind of outcome makes you happy? What do you look for?
What I look for, or what we look for, is the ability to reorient the parents into healthier thoughts and behaviors. That is our goal.
Ooh,
okay?
So we have a list of healthy ones as opposed to not so healthy ones?
Totally. Some of these behaviors originate through childhood, having to do with having experienced possibly trauma, abuse, or abandonment, you know, during a person's life. And this eventually becomes cyclical, and so you pass it on.
My parents had student loan. I have student loan. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I see where that goes.
Right.
What about this whole, there was something on the article on the internet regarding spanking children, how spanking your children might lead to more, you know, for kids to be very hostile and aggressive.
I saw that. Yes.
Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
Well, what about...
I started throwing that out to people who are bullying their kids.
Like, thinking about my childhood, you know, I think I was, like, spanked or hit, you know, once, but I really deserved it.
Can you tell that Maria and I were not spanked a lot as children?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, that spanking that I got, it was really like, whoa, I had never gone that, but it stopped my behavior, from doing that again. And again.
Yeah, I was spanked until they couldn't catch me.
No, but, you know, I remember my grandma, you know, throwing the chancla across the room, you know, because, you know, I wouldn't listen to her. She did, but, you know, that was my grandma. My mom never did.
But you weren't scared. You just laughed and ducked.
Oh, yeah.
And kept on going.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what trauma is fear, so, you know.
That's true. But, I mean, it's how, you know, we grow up, and I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, the spanking and Not the spanking, but that's nurturing parenting, right? That's when
absolutely. Our philosophy, of course, is not based on. We do not promote, spanking, spanking the child.
It doesn't need promotion. It does pretty good with itself, right?
Absolutely, and yes, it may, solve the problem immediately, to spank a child, but in the long term, there are repercussions.
Like that article on the internet, the spanking.
Yeah, they've tied.
They did a research.
Spanking, physical correction of child misbehavior, to aggressive children.
Exactly.
So they've now made a nice little research connection. Spank your kids, you grow up with kids who can't handle their own anger. Who'd have thought that had been the case, right?
Yes, and many parents who abuse their children, unfortunately, generally lack a positive view of themselves and consequently of their children. Inadequate perceptions of self as an adult, Scott, generally stem
Not
from
me.
Early childhood experiences of failure, ridicule, and disappointment. These patterns of childhood failure are repeated to yet another generation. But where demands are made for the children to perform tasks that are emotionally, physically, and intellectually incapable of performing.
Yeah. But I mean, a little context, a little step back and look into the Imperial Valley moment here. We live in a place with a lot of different societal stressors.
Right.
You've got the economic stress. You've got hot weather in the summer.
Right.
You've got migrational stress because you've got people who immigrated here under very duressful circumstances.
Right.
You had to acculturate to a culture that doesn't really respect or honor your past culture, perhaps. Would that be fair? I think so.
It would be fair, definitely.
Because, speak English around here, right? So you've got all these different energies going. You've got some religious stuff going on. You've got some male-female stuff going on. And
the drug use.
And the drug use, which is, kind of maladaptive coping for all of the stress and structures that we're under. So, it's in that context. How can you look at parents and say, the buck stops with you? Somehow you have to pull yourself out of all the stress, pressure, marginalization, objectification that you're under and say, yeah, but I'm going to be somehow step above my trauma.
And your excellent point. I think that's where skills come in. Being a kid who was spanked, and I grew up a long time believing that I needed to be spanked. But what did that teach me? That taught me, and I believed for a long time, that the only way my dad could control me was to spank me.
So are you aggressive?
Not at all. But I had to go back and I had to reteach myself. What I had to do is...
You can put me down now, John.
But what I had to do is I had to go back and I had to develop some skills. Don't get me wrong. My parents did the best they could with the skills they had. They raised me. I took spanking.
Well, as do most parents. I think that's fair.
And so what we want to do and what our program works to do is to increase that toolbox, kind of give those families more skills so that they can help their kids out.
And it's one of the things that we all say, when you become a parent, it doesn't come along with a manual of how to raise your how to be a parent, how to raise your child.
That's right. And most of the manual we get comes from our parents and what they gave us.
Well, yeah. I mean, even when you get your second kid and it doesn't act like your first one, where'd my easy kid go, right?
That's right.
So what we're trying to do is increase the skill base of the parents specific types of tools. So you're already kind of stepping away from this whole kind of deficit pathology, blame the victim type of model. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, you know what? Here's some tricks. And if you try these tricks, you may have more fun with
tools.
The experience.
Tools. Here's some tools.
Yeah.
Tricks.
I like tools.
Techniques.
Better techniques. Yeah.
Techniques.
Tools. Skills.
Tools, because tools, what do you use tools for?
To
work.
To build.
To work.
To enhance.
Yeah. So the tricks to me is kind of like, oh, let's just have fun. Children are fun. Relationships are fun.
Yes, they are.
Let's see what we can do. Let's see if we make some magic.
The base philosophy of our program is we want to raise kids in a warm, trusting, loving environment so that they themselves become warm, trusting, loving people. Just like you talked about, you get raised with a spank. Some kids who, they grow up, they have trouble dealing with their anger. They have trouble expressing themselves. And so we want to do the opposite. We want to provide parents with the tools, skills, tricks to be able to raise their kids in that warm, trusting, loving mm-hmm. environment so that when they get older, they are warm, trusting individuals to their environment, to themselves, to other people.
Are you ready to put Christy on the spot?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Okay, Christy, walk us through a tool or a technique that just one of your encyclopedia of techniques.
But
tools.
before that, let's go back and this whole program, the nurturing program. It's very different. It's a very different parenting program than people have been used to. I know there's a lot of people in the Valley have gone through parenting programs, but this is very different because you're working with the children and the parents together.
Yeah, well, I think you heard it in the philosophy right away.
It's together. They're working together. It's not, you know, parents go to these classes once a week by themselves and leave the kids at home. This one you take, correct?
Yes, Maria, we are working with the parents and children together. However, we separate the parents into one classroom and the children go into a separate classroom.
And then they come together.
So it is respite. Okay.
So
no, and then they come together at the end.
And then they come together at the end. During the, you know, the 2.5 hour session, the parents are learning a particular, you know, lesson. Let's say empathy.
Skill.
Or a particular skill. Whereas at the same time, the children are learning the same thing in the form of an activity, in the form of a puppet show, in the form of, dramatization or with music. They are learning.
You mean children
exactly.
aren't just objects that we do stuff to?
No, absolutely not.
Oh.
Actually, these children are very, very bright, and they...
Daughter to Queen's Bishop IV.
No, not
and,
a chest.
And they have the ability to talk about their feelings at the age of 5. They already know that they're being spanked. They already know that they are feeling sad because mom spanked them or because
there are wars in the world and people are starving to death.
Exactly, or it's a daily occurrence. In the school age program that I teach, this is based on a reparenting, what they call a reparenting philosophy. Have you heard of that, Scott?
It sounds like a remix.
Kind of. Basically, a reparenting philosophy reorients a parent into healthier thoughts and behaviors. And some of these behaviors might again have originated in childhood. Okay, so what we do is that, you know, we create the separate groups when the parent and children get there, and we work on activities that build the child's self-awareness, their positive self-concept, their self-esteem and empathy, and we teach the parents alternatives to yelling and hitting, and we do everything
so
possible.
So give me one, we're up against the break.
Okay.
But give me one basic one that people who have to get out of their cars at 8 o'clock and go to work and won't be able to tune us back in after. Give us one little gift for them, those parents that are driving to work today.
Or
a simple little tool. Yeah, anything
you know,
you want.
Something like, let's say that the kid is just wants something.
You know, sometimes we will, you know, the parents will want something at Walmart or something, and the parent will say, you know what, honey, I would really love to give you every single toy.
Doesn't Walmart actually strategically place everything in ways that make little kids want it? Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But here, the communication with a child is key. Instead of saying, no, you can't have it. Don't you know that I don't have any money? Don't you know that we can't afford it? You know, there's the other alternative.
Or stop
Which
yelling at me or I'll do something really mean, you know.
Yeah, kind of. Honor their desire. You know, I want to go to Hawaii. That doesn't mean I get to go every week, but I could still talk about it, and I could have somebody listen to me about how much I want to go to Hawaii.
So validate
them. Yeah, this is what they want. This is I can see why you would want this. This toy looks like a lot of fun. Maybe next time or, you know, not today, but just
if
hear
this
them
is
out.
Something
Don't
you
just,
still want yeah, when we that. Have the means to purchase it.
Yeah, don't just
Hook
cut them
up.
Off and make
yeah.
them put
Hook
the toy back on the shelf. Let them share. Let them talk about it. A lot of times, you know, at that kid's...
Or if you go home and do 5 times the amount of chores you're doing currently, I'll actually bump your allowance a little bit.
I'm not saying bribe them.
But
I'm saying honor their...
Well, no. You're giving them the means by which to fulfill their desire.
There you go.
And it's not bribery. It's household responsibility.
But just to validate their feelings.
Yeah, that's big. I know for me as an adult, I like to be validated. I like my supervisor to listen to me. I like my friends to listen to me. I think kids want the exact same thing. And I've had a lot of success working with kids, always validating what they want, always validating what they're saying.
Could you tell them that stores and marketing really want them to be caught in that web of wanting something so bad that they're extending themselves?
Yeah.
I think for a six-year-old, it's just validating their feelings. Don't bring in the.
You really want that, don't you?
Yeah.
Ooh, feel the pain. Feel the burn of wanting something and not being able to have it today.
I might say something like, I could see why you want this toy. I might explore it with them, read the package, and, you know, just kind of, but we can't get it today, though, so let's go ahead and put it back. You know, and it's a we thing. It's not just me making them put it back or taking their power away. It's just me sharing the opportunity.
You know, John, the other thing that does is it kind of sets a model up that you're going to be able to actually look at the things that you want and kind of think about why you want them without having to get it.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good parenting technique. Like I said, it's worked with me, with my kid, for the most part. It's worked with me, with kids that I work with, whether it's Alted, whether it's with kids at elementary school, or whether it's worked the teenagers that I'm working with now with the Nurturing Parenting Program. They want to be validated. They want to be heard. Doesn't mean they're always going to get what they want, but it's a big, big thing for them to be able to express and be able to share why they want something.
Sweetheart, you're going to be led around by your desires the rest of your life, and you probably won't be able to get more than just a handful of them. Get used to the feeling. Yikes. You want a really nice guitar? Want a designer purse? Well, we got to go to break. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We're here with Office of Education Prevention Specialists in the house. We're talking nurturing parenting. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Mexicali and Imperial Valley. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874, and we are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue.
You know, some cultures like worship ancestors, and on the break we realized that all of us go back into our own parenting, and it pays forward into our current parenting, and you suspect that was true for our parents and our grandparents and everybody else too. So in a weird way, we really are reflections of you know, whoever it was 1,000 years ago who became our like ancestral family person in charge. So your daughter is going to be playing the guilt card like a violin or however that went, like with her kids. That's cool. You as a grandpa, you'll be able to look back and say, yeah.
Yep.
That works.
Yep.
we'll see how that plays out. I know as she gets older, it gets a little less effective, but my patterns also are changing now. She's becoming a teenager. I know the way I talk to her, the way I deal with her, has to become more respectful, because she's to this place now where, you know, she's growing up, and I know that I'm going to have to begin treating her more like an adult and less, you know, like a kid. So, but that will adjust for
giving
me. But it was like a sword, wielding the guilt like a sword.
Yeah.
You wouldn't hurt your dad, would you? This is really hurting me.
But it's, you know,
I'd get laughed at if I tried that. I'd be like,
you know,
right,
what?
Dad, get out of here.
It's just being a parent is difficult. It's not an easy job. It's a hard job, because here's this another human being, you know, that wants, that needs, that, you know, just, and you're the parent, and here comes the stressors of everyday life, your job, you know, taking care of the home, paying bills, just everything, and all of a sudden you come home, you're tired from an all-day work, especially that we have a lot of parents that we work with that are in the fields, They leave at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ouch.
And get home until 7 o'clock at night.
Double ouch. And yeah. don't make any money. Ouch.
Yes. And
so you have this family, this parent, where all this is going on, and then at the same time, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have a kid who's going through all the stressors of school, all the stress, dealing with 6-7 teachers a day, depending on how old the kid is. You know, if one of those teachers
their
is
friends,
having a bad day, yeah,
their
stresses
friends,
from their friends.
The peer friends, or negative or positive peer friends.
Girlfriend problems, you know, then just surviving the day, they come home and they're stressed out. They've had a hard day too, and so then these two collide. And
that's why I listen to hip hop songs for parental advisory all day long to kind of get through that stress.
But it's very stressful. And this program, Nurturing Parenting, can help them.
Yeah, we want to, the way I like to say it is we want to bridge that communication gap. As teenagers become older, there is a communication gap. They talk less to their parents. They want to talk more to their friends. They want to be off on their own more. And so what we want to do is we want to help bridge that. Mm-hmm. I know in the particular program that I'm working with right now, the Parents and Adolescents program, we work from kids about 12, 13 until about 18, 19 with their parents. The way our lessons work is that we get kids in one room and we meet for about an hour and a half, the first half of the class. And then parents meet in a separate room with a separate facilitator for the second hour, or for the first hour and a half.
Are you the kid guy or the parent guy?
Depends on the class. We go back and forth.
Ooh, nice.
My partner and I. So I've been working
multi-talented.
With parents, yeah, and working with the teenagers also. And so then the second half of the class, we bring them back together. And the main focus of the second half of our classes is skills. We want them to practice what it is we're talking to them about. You know, so they may work with their own family. They may sit down and have a conversation where we use like sentence stems that are from the curriculum, and then for them to finish the sentence and kind of have a conversation with their parent. Another thing that we do that I really love this about.
So like sentence stamps are like prompts, like I feel happy when blank.
Something like that, a little more complex out of the program. For example, two memories I have of being a teenager are
Ooh, nice.
The way I felt about being a teenager were. So parents share this with their kids, and then it gives kids a little bit of.
Oh, we are like after all.
Oh, yeah.
And so another thing we do, and I love this about the Nurturing Parenting Program, is we'll put kids with other parents. You know, sometimes a kid listens to their parent, or there's that natural block, and they just don't want to hear them. And so giving them the opportunity to practice with another parent, they're a little more open, a little more willing to listen. We call them nurturing groups. And so we pair kids up with different parents, and then they work with that parent for part of the time. And then for the next piece of activity, sometimes they'll come back with their parents, and then they'll continue the activity.
What's the buy-in for teenagers? I mean, typically they're trying to get out in the world and be more independent and get away from the parenting relationship. What's the buyout to get them to sit down and actually work on this?
What I say to teenagers, I say this is called a parenting class. But what we're going to do is we're going to build skills. And if you give me 12 weeks of your life, if you give me 3 hours for 12 weeks, I guarantee you at the end of this class, you'll be a better communicator.
Unsupervised computer time.
You'll be a better communicator. You'll be a better listener.
No smartphones allowed.
The skills that they learn in this class will make them better employees. It will give them a little bit better chance to deal with teachers when they're having a bad
day. Oh, so you pointed out, you say the stuff that we're going to work on here, not only is it going to help you with your parents, because you know how painful they are, but it's going to help you get the stuff you want in this life.
That's right. And then the hook, you know, someday you're going to want a girlfriend or a wife, and you're going to have to know how to talk to her and how to listen to her, and this is going to give you skills to do that.
Someday you're going to want a partner, John, because
there you go.
It goes all over the place.
There you go. And even just friends, good relationships with friends. You're
husband,
gonna have to know
spouse, partner.
Yeah. That's my buy-in.
How many groups do you guys do?
Currently, we have three groups currently running. And we're working on building one in San Pasqual right now.
Oh, good.
So we got a huge welcome from San Pasqual, and we're just working on making calls and getting parents buy-in.
How do high schools, you're doing the teens, right?
Correct.
Junior highs and high schools?
Junior highs and high schools.
How do they recruit parents? If parents are listening going, hey, this sounds like fun, I wonder if they've done my school because my kid doesn't bring home notes, you know. How do people find out about it at their schools? How do they get signed up for this?
Just real quick, I'm going to...
Yeah.
If you're interested in my program, feel free to give me a call. My office line is 312-6189. Name is John Radcliffe. Leave me a voicemail. No matter what town you're in, I'll get back to you, and I'll let you know where the classes are so that if you're interested, you can jump in. And your question...
Oh, it was basically how do parents get in touch? How do they find out? And you gave one answer.
Mm-hmm.
Do the schools advertise these things? Is it... How does it...
Different
word of
schools
mouth?
Have recruited in different ways. I've had some schools where we go in and we talk about, okay, we've got this time slot. However, there's a couple of other schools that are interested in this time slot also. So if you can get me so many interested families, I'll go ahead and we'll start here. Mm-hmm. And so the school will kind of decide who, you know how schools are. They want some prevention stuff. So they identify their worst cases and then they say, hey, can you work with these kids? And what we do is we kind of go back in and say, you know, I'd like you to open this to the school. Because what we've seen before, we've been running for about 3 years now in the Valley. And what we've seen is like we get three or four parents, three or four sessions in. They're like, I didn't know this was here. You know, I wanted to know about it. So we want to get a blanket informative message to the school. So sometimes we send flyers home. Sometimes we use the telecall where they call the family and kind of let them know about what's happening. Different schools have just...
So all of the different promotional strategies.
Correct.
Whatever
the
school has at its disposal.
Tag it all. We're even doing radio shows now, Scott, so that we can get the word out a little bit better.
Ooh. And it's going to be in the podcast.
Awesome.
Yes, indeed. So you're always going to be able to point people back to this who want to know more about your nurturing parenting program.
Yeah.
What do we do in the Christy? What do we do in the elementary schools?
Okay, I'm working with the school-age children, ages 5 through 11, and right now we have a class.
Oh, they're so cute.
Yes, they are. We have a class at Mains Elementary School in Calexico on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock, 1 to 3:30, and after that we come over to El Centro Imagine School from 4:30 to 7 o'clock. On Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, which was yesterday, we had the class at Phil Swing Elementary School in Brawley, and that was from 4:30 to 7.
It's okay. A full-time gig for you, isn't it?
It's a full-time gig. We get home
at
7:30.
Do they get food?
We have healthy snacks for children, and they are provided by the schools.
Like Reese's peanut butter cups.
Right.
No, sorry.
No,
the chocolate used to only be reserved for kings. Kings were the only people who could originally eat chocolate. Of course, they didn't put all that sugar and stuff in it back then, but, you know.
Right. So they have healthy snacks and...
Like carrots
during
the break.
Yeah, because it's almost three hours.
It's almost three hours. Right. So it works really well. We're very successful, and right now we're trying to build up a class in El Centro.
Good.
We're just going to be looking at where.
Round and around. And
what kind of activities do you do for the five-year-olds? I'm thinking about five, six-year-olds.
Okay, like for the first session, what we do is we have the children draw a picture of themselves and how they view themselves. And it's really powerful because we do that in session one. And then after, you know, several weeks.
We do the drawing again.
What kind of drawings do you get that first session?
We also, before I go on to that, we also have them do their family portrait, their self-portrait, and their family portrait in session one. Okay, what kind of drawings? Sometimes we get children who draw themselves without a body. Sometimes we have children who draw themselves in one complete color, like black.
And you're saying that may be indicating some
maybe they like the color
negativity
of black.
Or something?
Maybe they like black.
What's up with the dark, you know,
like
hating
black.
On the dark colors?
Maybe that was the only crayon.
You know, black actually is like
the only
thin
crayon
available. And darker colors
actually,
work.
Actually, we have many crayons, but, John, but we aren't there to necessarily assess the self-portrait at that point.
But just
we
maybe,
just
huh?
take it in, okay? Mm-hmm. And we make our observations throughout, you know, the course of the 15 sessions. We have had children who, you know, who draw weapons. You could take that to mean many different things.
Could be that their father takes them hunting.
Or it could be that they're playing a lot of, you know, games.
Spin the revolver.
Exactly, spin the revolver.
Spin the Glock.
Yeah, the video games.
Oh, sure. video games.
They see their older siblings playing, you know, these
first-person shooter games. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So I personally have seen, you know, the self-portrait in a child, you know, who draws himself without a body, and at session 15...
Disembodied, as it were.
He draws himself.
How about the family?
With a body.
I'm curious about the family portraits. What do they draw?
It's really fascinating because, like, some of the children already view themselves as head of household. So I'll have a little boy drawing himself next to his mom, and I'll say, "Is that your mom and dad?" And he'll say, "No, that's me and my mom." And the dad is at the other, you know, end of the drawing. And he says...
Watching TV.
The reason he...
There's a game on. Okay,
the reason
stop.
That I do that is because, you know, my dad's never home or he's always working. And so I'm the one that's in charge of the family. And so the drawing in that particular case depicts that.
And I don't know if... just. I mean, we could make all sorts of judgments about whether that is good, bad, or indifferent. But it just
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. It just is.
Yeah.
And by the... So after 15 weeks, it looks like the... Obama family portrait in the White House or something?
In some cases, you see...
Because they're going to feng shui themselves absolutely perfectly because they've got, like, you know, press people going, no, you need to stand on this side of them because that implies that you're happy or something, right?
They draw whatever they need to draw in session 15.
And at the end, what do you get?
And at the end...
What does it look like?
in some instances, but not all instances, you will see smiling faces, you will see children with bodies, you will see colors that change in the photo, you will see words that say happy.
Well, all the family will be proportionally sized and...
Not necessarily, but you do see some changes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very fascinating.
And it's 15 sessions?
15 sessions, and they're well worth it. They're very intense sessions.
Especially
a lot of sharing
kids.
Goes
yeah.
on. A lot of sharing, a lot of tears, a lot of everything, every emotion.
Do you guys ask for the same open enrollment in the elementary schools that you get in the high schools and junior highs? I mean, clearly schools want to target their people with concerns, I guess would be the way to say it. But are you able to get that cross-section of everybody in the community who wants to at a school site?
We do make every effort to do that. This course is for all families.
Well, it helps to have a balance, too, mm-hmm. I would suspect.
Right.
If everybody's the same flavor of suffering, it's hard to get perspective in the room.
I totally agree with you. And we absolutely do make every effort to achieve a balance there. And we do, you know, invite people that are not the ones that are necessarily mm-hmm. referred by social services or by the principal or by probation. Absolutely.
Right, right. How about attrition? Is attrition typically a normal, any sort of thing that's, like, not court-ordered, even your court-ordered stuff at times, if people tend to drop over time? Do you guys experience that, or is this such a cool flavor of ice cream that people get, like, really into it and you never lose anybody?
We make absolutely every effort to
stalking, restraining orders,
like
back off just about five steps there.
And John Ratcliffe is our expert as far as attrition goes because he's the
working,
one that
yeah.
collects all of the data.
And he's working with the teenagers.
He does a wonderful job of doing this aspect of the program. So I'm going to hand the mic over to you.
John, attrition.
Attrition. Actually, in talking to Dr. Babalik, he talked about nation.
He's really cool, by the way. Isn't he?
He's a creator.
Yeah,
of
he's the developer of our. Thank you of our curriculum. He talked about the attrition or the dropout rate in his programs nationwide, and it's about 60-70%. And I'm happy to say that I plugged some numbers before I came, and we have served 875 people.
Wow.
That's parents and children combined. Parents and children combined, and we also use the pre and post survey, mm-hmm. and I'll get into that a little bit more if you guys like, but what I wanted to say was we have right on the line of 80% completion
wow.
rate. So 80% of people who start our program finish.
What's your secret, as Dr. would ask you?
Babalik.
I believe, this is my belief of what our secret is.
That's the secret.
So what do you attribute your success? Because it's an attributional
thing. And it's group wide.
I'm asking you to draw a picture of yourself right now.
It's we provide something, and it's not a gimmick. I'm not trying to lure them there with laptops. I'm giving a solid skill. The carrot is the skill that I'm giving you, and I'm very upfront with parents about that, and I'm very upfront with kids.
Is there
about
something
that.
With laptops available, by the way?
No.
Oh.
But the skill that I'm going to give you will benefit you. It will improve the quality of your life if you give me these weeks mm-hmm. and you apply.
So when they walk in the room session one, you start hitting that and you lean on it.
Yeah, and then I deliver. You know, each week I go in and I all of my colleagues do. I'm
well, yeah, because nurturing parenting is embedded with that.
Correct.
Type,
yeah.
And so when they come in, this is what they're expecting. And because we're delivering it, other than cases where something happened or they move or something, that's where we're losing people. There are some people who just, this is not for me. I need something different. They need something maybe a little more intervention, a little more intermediate.
Football season started, John.
But I attribute our high success rate and our high completion rate to us being very upfront with parents and us delivering on what we say we're going to give.
Yeah.
You know, there's no gimmicks. It's just, this is what I want to offer you. This is how I'm going to do it. You know, take it or leave it. And mm-hmm. so most people, when they start, they already have that in mind, that's the carrot, so to speak.
Sounds like a reality show for WWE wrestling class or something.
Well,
ready to sign up here.
Yeah, I know. You know, I see John's, you know, enthusiasm. It's just that energy level. And it's like, okay. Okay, I'll go.
You ready to sign up?
For my 5-year, yes, I will.
There you go. Another part of the program I kind of mentioned, it's called the Adult Adolescent Parenting Inventory 2. And what Dr. Babalik has developed to go along with his curriculum is a pre-survey and a post-survey. And what happens is we ask parents to answer these 40 questions based on, like, a strongly agree.
What's your favorite color? And
No, things like how they feel about spanking.
If you were a tree,
yeah,
what...
They want to hear.
Would you be?
I should have brought some questions. I didn't think about that. But just, you know, sample questions to evaluate them on the five pillars of, like, appropriate expectations of kids, discipline, you know, appropriate discipline, whether there's empathy or not, what their family roles are, and what their expectations of their kids are. You know, for example, a five-year-old, you're not expecting that five-year-old to go out and throw a paper route. You know, just to having those appropriate expectations. And so what the AAPI survey does is it evaluates where parents are on a scale, and then we're able to get a printout. And on the printout, it'll show us on a scale of 0 to 10 in each construct.
In each, so my expectations may be really over the top. I want my five-year-old to do a paper out. Mm-hmm. However, I may be very kind, or I may be really good at setting boundaries.
Yeah. So you may end up with a 4 or a 5 in expectations, but your empathy may be an 8 or a 9. And so we can look at that on paper. And what we're able to do with that, with the pre-survey, is we're able to take that information and look at our, for example, our parent and adolescent curriculum, and we're able to identify which lessons we need to specify into for this particular group. So we're able to use the data we get pre-survey from the first session and kind of know where we're going to have to spend a lot of focus on.
So the implication is that if you score high on all of these constructs, you've got kind of a best-case scenario going.
Yeah, if you score high in they call them low-risk.
So he's tied it back to risk of negative outcomes in children.
Correct. Risks of abuse or risks of, you know, of negative outcomes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Adverse childhood experiences, that's a nice little...
When have you seen Valley-wide? I mean, what are the...
What are the weaknesses or the strengths?
Yeah, the high risk.
In terms of where we've seen a very low starting has been power and independence. I think the reason we see kind of a low start, I'm guessing maybe it could be a cultural thing or something, but in power and independence, a lot of times...
You're guessing because you're not a member of the dominant culture, is that what you're saying?
Over-restricting. Well, I don't want to be offensive, I guess.
No, that's good. No, you're good, man.
I know me as a parent, I'm very restricting with my kid. You know, a lot of people would say that I'm a little too tight with her, a little too strict, whereas some other people are like, you're way too lenient with her. You know, why are you so lenient?
And put the guilt violin away.
No. And it's true. And with my family, when I was growing up, it was my parents were very strict. My dad was very strict. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to do that. But when my husband and his kids, my stepkids, was like, yeah, okay, you want to go to San Diego? Okay, go ahead, take off to San Diego, 15, 16-year-old, mm-hmm. You know. Oh, yeah, I can go. It's just, what? You know, it's just that. And his idea, no, I'm teaching them to be, you know, they need to be independent and they need to be responsible. And I go, I never got that when I was growing up. You know, it's just, no, you'll do whatever you want, but after you get married.
Yeah, the curriculum works to the point of, you know, they have to have some independence in order to be able to do it themselves when they get older. And so, you know, whether I'm too strict, that's what that's going to measure, how strict I am versus how lenient I am.
I wonder how the cultural factor reflects on this.
It's a cultural. It could be.
It could be. I jumped back and I said I got scared. Mm-hmm. But it could be a culture thing. It could also just be, I think.
So you could get a high score, let's say power and independence, because that's a fair category.
Yeah.
You could get a really high score on power and independence, which means in this survey, in their national way of looking at parenting, you're raising the lowest risk kid. But because you're out of step culturally with your community, that kid may now be teased or harassed. You know, there may be unintended cultural side effects.
Yeah, and there's a whole gamut of the things that go on with kids.
But it's a really cool scale. Yeah. So what do you see in terms of pre and post? What do you see in terms of the average gains?
Post comes at the very end, very last session after we.
That's why they call it post.
I like to be thorough. But what we see is, and especially this last year, is we've seen a solid gain across the board. The first year we did see a drop in power and independence and in family roles, whereas parents were scoring lower in the post than they were in the pre. So we spent.
I love my kids so much. I'm never going to let them go away from me ever for a minute.
We spent some time this summer kind of going over that as a group and deciding how we're going to tackle that. And our first cohort ended January, and we were able to look at our data and get some printouts and stuff. And sure enough, all five categories now we're up a point and a half. So we've been able to target those. And this survey has been a great tool for that. Mm-hmm. So that we make sure we're providing the services to families that we tell them we're going to give them.
This is like an evidence-based, you know, just.
It is an evidence-based. Yeah.
You know, well, before it was just kind of, okay, you went to a parenting class, beginning to end. Okay, you're done. Bye.
Not this one.
You do a pre and you do a post, and then you still work at it.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think my concern would be, not to, like, be concerning or anything like that, but my concern would be is that, you know, yeah, if you score 10s on all the categories, in theory, in some kind of generalized place, you've got the best possible setup for your kids, which we all want.
According to the nurturing parenting curriculum philosophy, yes.
Exactly. So, but I guess my point is this, is like, you know, some people like vanilla ice cream, other people like chocolate ice cream, some people like vanilla ice cream with chili on it. And so if you've got a different score here, let's say I'm less empathic, for example, it may or may not be associated in that individual case with negative outcomes.
Yeah, there's ways to read it. For example, empathy and discipline. A low score in empathy shows that parents are not really kind of putting themselves in their kids' shoes, whereas a low score in discipline would say that they're more physical, a physical punisher type of family.
Right.
So
and
a low
general,
empathy score combined with a low discipline score, that's going to, maybe there's some abuse there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if there's a high empathy, low discipline score, you know, there may not be as much abuse. You're able to get the discipline score up, work on how they punish and how they do this. So there's ways to read the AAPI. And kind of get some of what you're talking about, get some idea of where the family's at.
Well, and I think maybe families deserve the respect to say that if your family works a little bit better with a little bit more restrictive power and independence component,
mm-hmm.
and it's cool with you guys, it's cool with me, right? As long as you're not like setting your kids on fire or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you've got a high score in empathy, a lot of the other things you're workable.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Yeah. I do, and that's why I'm trying to be empathic to the families that may not have. Fit this perfect model.
And empathy is one of the base components of what this program is based on, you know, putting yourself in your kid's shoes. But at the other side of that, too, it's not only about parents understanding where their kids are. We work very hard to help kids understand where their parents are. You know, parents are not just being cruel. They're not trying to ruin your life. They really are reasons why we put them.
Until they become elderly and you have to take care of them. I just want to put that out.
We want to communicate that to kids as well. You know, they're not the only ones who are having these stressful days. You know, it's not an easy to be a parent and it's not easy to be a kid. And so we want to help each other understand
that. Unless you decide that it is in your head. And if you decide it is in your head, then it is. Ha. Bam. Got that one, too.
But, I mean, it's like you said, you know, just getting that relationship, improving that relationship between the parent and the child.
Sure. Have fun. Life's short. Families are beautiful. It's a miraculous, you know, biologically, it's miraculous socially.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good time. Your kids look like you, typically, or the guy down the street or something. And it's a really wonderful opportunity to share the experience of being human. I mean, these people are in your space for a reason, and you want to, like, pick up on that and deal with it, right?
That's right. I have the most fun with my daughter. You know, I mean, just running her. I remember when she was a kid in her basket, and I would take her to Vons, and I would be, like, singing as we ran down the aisle. You know, I have a blast with my kid. It's one of the most fun things I do. Even now that she's 12 and I'm not as cool as I used to be, I still have a total blast with
I found a kid in the basket once. Does she have your color eyes?
But, and I think that can continue, even in adolescence, as her ideas of what's important change and as she grows up. And it's just about me continuing to be interested in her life and empathetic towards her and be respectful towards her.
Sure, even when they don't do what you want them to do.
Yeah, which is every day.
Yeah,
but, you know,
much.
I got to learn to deal with it. Because the thing is, I'm the parent, and so I'm the one who's got to adjust to the kid, you know, if I'm going to be successful. I can't put that on them. They don't have the skills to
I'm not telling my kid
do
that.
Sorry.
No, you have to adjust to me.
You mentioned something earlier about swearing. Kids swearing, you know, it's like, I don't want to hear that. And I'm going to tell her I don't want to hear that. But it's not going to end the world, and I'm not going to completely come down and crashing down on her because she's swearing. You know, it's just, that's not acceptable, and I cut it off. You know, I don't give a lot of attention to it. I want attention to other things.
So swearing, John. Ever, never, sometimes, only when it's really important. Do you ever swear?
More than I like.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not good on it, and the thing that worries me is because my kid's going to pick that stuff up.
Yeah.
They learn that stuff from us.
Oh, yeah,
and
they
so,
do.
You know, I'm constantly bettering myself, constantly looking at those things to reevaluate and to make sure I'm not passing those bad habits on to my kid.
When my kids were like 2 and 3, they started saying shut up, and I was like, where'd you guys get that? I completely control your environment, and I never expose you to people who say that word. I was yelling it at the dogs.
they're
Homer,
sponges.
Homer Simpson, hit your forehead. Dove.
Our kids are sponges. Everything we put
everything,
out there, they're grabbing.
Everything, it's true.
Yes. Amazing. Okay, thank you guys. Great for coming aboard. Throw out the number one more time. Let's.
You can reach me, John Radcliffe, for Parents and Adolescents Program at 760-312-6189. And let me pass over to Christy.
And you can reach me, Christy Gomez, at 760-312-6498.
Thank
and
you both
then
so much.
You can get that those numbers and that information again if you access our podcast at kxoradio.com.
Bingo. Mario's on the board. Maria and Scott are the hosts. Christy and John were the guests today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Have a wonderful weekend and catch us next
week.
Yes,
and don't forget to go to Market Days and the parade and the tractor cook-off.
Tell them Maria sent you and they'll
give
you free food.
This Saturday. No, I'll be eating.
scratch that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.